Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. And more than that, we should be rejoicing because He lives. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Savior lives. And we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to celebrate a resurrected and living Savior. Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, we want to welcome you and ask you to fill out the little visitor card you'll find in front of you. Please place it off your plate as it comes around so we can have a record of your visit. We greatly appreciate that. If you're joining us online this morning, we want to welcome you as well and ask you to consider being a part of what God is doing right here in the sanctuary. Come and be a part of that. I also want to give some special acknowledgement this morning to those of you that have been helping out with us. Of course, Wednesday night we had our Christ in the Passover presentation, and we want to thank you for that love and for that peace that you gave us in that. Thank you for being such a hard worker in that, and it was a wonderful, wonderful success in that. Also, thank you for your prayers as we went out Thursday to one of our sister churches and gave that presentation as well in First Baptist Church Academy. So, thank you for helping us out in that as well. Friday night, we had Tenebrae service in here. If you were a part of that, we want to thank you as well for all your hard work and dedication that went in that. And, of course, this morning for Sunrise service. What a beautiful service it was. Thank you for those of you that sang. Thank you for those of you who prepared breakfast. Let me tell you, the breakfast was amazing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It was good. Amen. Also, want to thank you to all of you who stayed behind to help set up and help tear down our outside Sunrise service. Thank you for that. Well, with that being said, we do have some things that are happening right now that I want you to get involved in, be a part of. Number one, as you may know, we will not be having services this evening. The reason why is because we've had service this morning at sunrise. We're having service right now, and pastor's tired. Somebody say amen. Wore out, yes. And so are our deacons, and so are all of you that have been involved in all of that hard work. So we're going to take that time for family time. So please take that time to celebrate the resurrected living Savior and spend time with your family, your friends, and your loved ones. And I will see you guys Wednesday night. We'll be back in regular service Wednesday night at 6:30 right here in the sanctuary. Come and be a part of that. Don't forget the ladies will have their Bible study starting back up April 16th. They'll be studying the book of Philippians. So if you're interested in that, you can get with Sister Brenda Titus. You can get with some of the other ladies inside our church and get yourself involved in that ladies' Bible study. You have two of them to choose from, one at 9:30 in the morning and one at 6:30 in the evening. The men have a Bible study, not to be left out. The men do on Thursdays at 6:30, and they are still meeting. And you can show up this Thursday at 6:30 and be a part of what God is doing there inside our men's Bible study. I also want to remind you that coming up this Saturday, April 6th, if you are interested in being a part of our Detroit mission trip, our Michigan mission trip, we're going to go and help a sister church there called Northfield Hills Baptist Church. We're going to help them put on a vacation Bible school. And if things go well, we'll be preaching their evening revival services. So be in prayer for us in that. But if you're interested in going with that, we will have a meeting this Saturday, April 6th, at 10 p.m. here in the church. We're going to Zoom and meet some of those church members face-to-face on our telephones or on our computers. So we will give you a link if you're interested in that, and so we can be a part of that as well. 10 p.m. is that time. Thank you, Little CB. 10 a.m. I am that tired. 10 a.m. Right. Right, and as Brother CB reminded us, please park on the office side on Saturday the 6th so that we can get inside for that meeting in that. Thank you for that. This side will be closed off and blocked off for the upcoming eclipse that is going to happen. So, speaking of that eclipse, our head of security, Brother Joe Allen, said he'd like to have a word or two. Go ahead, Brother Joe. Thank you, Brother Joe. So what we're asking for is some help, additional staff, and stiple additional coverage in that parking lot, roving security. So if you're interested in that, please get with Brother Joe and see if you can take one of our shifts or at least help out in one of those shifts. All right. Coming up April 13th, church at 10 a.m., we'll be having our first Vacation Bible School workshop. So please come and be a part of that. Vacation Bible School is a wonderful time here at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. It is a great community outreach. Please, please, please start praying about that, praying for that, praying for the kids who will be involved in it, praying for many, 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 many salvations, and praying that God will work in the lives of those in our community. So please start praying about that. If you're interested in serving in that, please come be a part of that meeting at 10 a.m. on April 13th. All right. Also, a reminder, church, we'll be hosting our United Baptist Association's annual meeting on Sunday night, the 21st, 6 p.m. here at Robinson Avenue. There will be a meal at 4:30. They'll have a ladies' ministry time, a ladies' meeting, and of course, we'll have an executive board meeting for the officers of UBAC, and then we'll go right into our worship time at 6 p.m. and our reports at 6 p.m., so it should be done around 7 to 7:30. So either way, we want to invite you to come be a part of that. It's going to be some good worship time, it's going to be good fellowship time. We have several sister churches here with us, so please consider being a part of that as well. Also, to remind you, we have a yard sale coming up on April 27th from 8 to 2. So if you're interested in observing a spot where you can sell some of your unwanted or unneeded items, then you can get with Sister Esther Bailey and reserve that spot. I believe those are $20 a spot. Is that right, Sister Esther? So she's taking those right now, and let me tell you, spots are filling up quickly. So get with her now if you're interested in that. Last but not least, church, as you know, we are going to be building a fence outside in our courtyard, a large courtyard. And so that is a pricey and expensive project. So we are taking donations for that. And if you are feeling led to give toward that, if you place your offering inside the offering plate and put fence on that and help us support that fence group as we get that done. I believe construction will start not this week, but the week after, or perhaps the week after that, somewhere around that. I think the 9th is the exact date when construction starts. So we're looking forward to seeing that get done in that. All right. I'm thinking that's about it for our announcements. Unless there's something I have forgotten, which is likely nowadays. All right. And of course, there's no choir behind me. Praise God. No one's blowing their nose at me or anything like that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after we pray, would you please rise and welcome one another. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, and oh, how we thank you for this day. I ask you to bless us, Lord, and take charge even now as we worship you. May we worship you in truth and spirit. May we, Lord God, give you praise this morning. May we lift up and exalt the name of your only begotten Son, Jesus, for he is alive, and he has conquered death. He's come out of the grave victorious. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for Resurrection Day. And I pray, Lord, that you'd resurrect our faith this morning. Resurrect our relationships with you, Lord God, and help us to get back with you this morning. Go with us now as we worship you, Lord. Be with us, Father, as we give you praise. And please, Lord, be glorified in all that we do. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise and welcome one another.
Good morning. If y'all wouldn't mind finding your way back to your seats. We have, this morning we're going to abbreviate our congregational singing. We're going to sing one song, and then we have four specials that we're going to do today. After, we have three baptisms. So, after this song, I'll just ask you right now, after this song, we'll have the ushers come forward. After this song. Let's all stand and sing, Christ the Lord has risen today.
Joy and triumph come.
already happened in a believer's heart. It's a picture of what's already taken place. A picture of a resurrection, of a brand new life. And incidentally, we're celebrating the resurrection of the Son of God this morning. So I can't think of a better day to witness baptism where a picture is being made in the life of a believer. For a believer who has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, and the picture has already happened in their hearts and in their souls of somebody who's dead to their sin being raised alive in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So as the believer goes down under the water, it's a picture then of them being resurrected back up. New life. A new person in Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us about what baptism is. The Bible also tells us about who baptism should be done to. Baptism is not for babies. It is for a believer, for somebody who believes. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, chapter 8, as Philip got near the Ethiopian eunuch, you know the story, the Spirit of God said, join yourself to that Ethiopian, and he did. And as Philip led the Ethiopian to Jesus Christ, they began walking, they began riding, they came near to water. The Bible tells us, chapter 8, verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What enables someone to be baptized? They believe with all their heart. If they confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, they need to believe that He is the Son of God. You're going to see three baptisms this morning. Each and every one of these, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Each and every one of these that made a profession down the aisle saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died for me, that He was raised for me. And now He ascended into heaven and intercedes for me, His child. And so that same invitation will be for you as well. At the end of service this morning, we're going to give that invitation. If Jesus has spoken to you already about making Him Lord and Savior of your life, about believing with all your heart, then you too may be baptized. Church, this is Luke. You know, Luke, he's part of our youth group. Yeah. Luke came a long time ago and said, I'd like to put Jesus in my heart. And he did. And we have seen him grow in grace and goodness and favor with God and with man and watch him become part of our youth group. And let me tell you, our youth group loves him. So Luke, it's my honor and it's my privilege to baptize you now. Luke, because you've appeared in public, confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to obedience to His command, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Some more coming.
good. So instead of pushing him down sideways, we're going to allow him to duck down. So bear with us in that. Ready? Okay. Eric, because you've appeared in public, confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, in obedience to his command, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Now, being a vertically challenged pastor, the next guy is a challenge. He is 6'6". And so, he asked me this morning, actually I asked him, say, how tall are you? He said, 6'6". And he said, how tall are you, pastor? I'm like, how tall am I? What'd you say?
Come on in, Brother Marcus.
Come down the aisle, put Jesus Christ in his heart. I have seen him develop a hunger and a thirst for God's word. He is a Christian, church, and he is a living example of what Christians should be. You need to be a part of what's going on in Marcus's life. If he can change Marcus, he can change you. If he can save Marcus, he can save you, just like he saved me.
Yeah. Marcus, because you've appeared in public, confessing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
I baptize you now, my brother, and obedience to his command, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Mark. Thank you, each and every one of you, and your beautiful, beautiful songs. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's alive. Let me say that again. He's alive. The title of this morning's message is, He Lives. That being said, let's go to the Lord and pray this chapter. Our Father who art in heaven, come to you now in Jesus' name. We want to thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. You speak to us, Lord. You teach us. You open our hearts to hear from you. And it's my prayer, Father God, if there be anyone that needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, anyone that needs to make that declaration, Lord, make it public, that they will be your servant. Would you let today be the day? Or perhaps, Father God, there's one who's come this morning and says, I have walked away. Would you let today be the day they come back to you? I also pray, Father, if there be any, Lord, today, need to follow through in obedience and baptism. Follow through in obedience, Lord, and be in part of a church. Would you let today be the day they come? If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Love to hear those pages turn. Matthew 27. Read just a few verses. We're not going to stay here. And just by way of invitation, you know we're talking about resurrection this morning. He lives is the title of our message. You know, we have a hard time talking about the resurrection unless we talk about the cross. In fact, you know a little bit about the cross. In fact, I believe most of you know what the cross is, what it represents, who died on it, and what it means in our lives today with the cross. Look with me, please, in Matthew 27, and look with me in verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. I'm reading from the Old King James. One, so it might sound a little bit different from the New King James. It's on your screen. Forgive me in that. That's the Bible that I use in my life and in my devotions. And so I'm comfortable with it. And when given the chance, I'd like to share that with each and every one of you. Not that I think it's the best Bible, not that I think it's the greatest translation out there, but that I'm comfortable with it. I think it's hilarious. Now, not to get off subject, but I think it's hilarious when somebody who stands up and says, we should be a King James only church, and they can't read the King James. Somebody say amen. I think that's the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. I think it's hilarious when somebody gets up and tries to quote it or tries to state that heeth, theeth, sheeth, saith, come hithereth, and he stinketh. I think it's hilarious. I love it. Does it make you more holy? Does it make you more religious? Why do I like it? Because I'm comfortable with it. Now, my Bible tells me, if we're looking here in Matthew chapter 27, that at Jesus' crucifixion, that graves came open. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about graves coming open. We're talking about resurrection. Somebody say amen this morning. We're talking about resurrection. And so I want to talk to you this morning. And perhaps you're joining us online and you're here to hear about resurrection. Well, I want you to know that Jesus Christ was resurrected. I also want you to know that there will be another resurrection. resurrection in which the body of Christ will come up out of their grave and be with the Lord forever. I want you to know that crucifixion, the resurrection, has a lot to do with us right now. And as we take a look in Matthew 27, we read that some graves came open and those that had been dead came alive. And so that's our first point this morning as we're looking at resurrection, as we're looking at the crucifixion, that we need to learn something from that statement. We need to learn something from that fact. If those dead people came back alive, then perhaps we need to heed that. We need to put that to work in our lives and say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me share with you what I mean this morning, this resurrection blessed morning. Number one, are you ready? If those saints came back alive because Jesus Christ was crucified, then right now you might be sitting in a pew saying, my faith is dead. Well, let today be the day it comes back alive. Somebody say amen. Let today be the day you get off of the couch and back into church, get out of the pew and back in the mission field serving a risen Savior. It's time for us to have an alive faith. Jesus Christ is alive, and it's time for us to get back alive in our faith and in our acts, in our works. How long have we been dead in our faith? How long have you been dead in your faith? You know, I'm saying, oh, Pastor, my faith has been dead for years. Don't get me wrong, I believe in God, but my faith is dead. I don't trust church. I don't trust preachers. I don't trust teachers or deacons or Sunday school teachers or anybody. I want you to know that's a dead faith. Let me tell you, your faith isn't built in people. It's supposed to be built in God. You need to get it back into God and off of people. As you came to church for people, you were here for the wrong reason. Because our Savior lives. That's where your faith needs to be. And incidentally, if He lives, if He died for us and He lives for us, your faith ought to be alive this morning. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to come down here a little bit. Usually I say, come in close and listen to me. But you know what? I'm going to come in close and listen to you this morning. We need to have a risen faith this morning. You need to have a risen faith. And perhaps you might be saying, Pastor Joshua, my faith is dead. Well, let Jesus Christ resurrect it this morning. Let His death on the cross resurrect your faith into a living God who loves you, who died for you, who sent His only begotten Son for you. And incidentally, the gates of hell will never prevail against your church because He lives. Would you be willing to come back in that faith this morning? Have you lost that faith? Have you lost that direction? Have you lost that gusto? Have you lost that ability to be His Christian? Have you lost that ability to follow Him? You know what? Listen to what the Scripture says. At His death, the grave came open. You know what you need to do? You need to go back to the cross. You understand, Pastor, I want a risen faith again. I want a resurrected faith. How do I do it? Well, the Bible tells us, at His crucifixion, at His death, those graves came open. Go back to the cross and study again. Jesus Christ died for you and let your faith come back alive. Why did He die for you? Because He loves you. Let your faith come back alive. Why did He rise for you? Because He loves you. Let your faith come back alive. Why is He up in heaven interceding for us? Because He loves you. Let your faith come back alive. Is that where you are this morning? And you're looking for that place to be alive, that place to be included? You know, Friday night we were in a beautiful and reverential service called Tenebrae. And inside that service we talked about the seven saints of the cross. We talked about what happened there. And we put them in a harmonical order. That means we used the harmony of the gospel to place all seven saints in there. And you know the one that really catches my attention all the time? You know, we often say, it is finished, Pastor. Or, Pastor, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Those are beautiful and powerful statements on the cross. But you know the one that gets me? When Jesus looks down at John and says, behold your mother. When He looks at His mother and says, behold your son. Cross is not just a place of forgiveness. We get that as Jesus is on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know what else the cross is? It's a place of belonging. And you might be saying, I don't have anywhere I belong. Yes, you do. You belong in the family of God. And I want you to hear Jesus Christ on the cross saying, behold your family. And He's been telling the church for years, behold your children. Go out and get them. You know why we're not going out to get them? Because our faith is dead. Our faith has been dead. Would you let it be resurrected this morning? Would you let it come back alive this resurrection morning where we're celebrating a resurrected Savior? Would you be willing to walk with Him, talk with Him along life's narrow way? Incidentally, when you talk with Jesus, you're going to find out that Jesus is interested in people. In people. He's not self-centered. He's not selfish. He's not self-ambitious. He's about spreading the good news, the gospel, the kingdom of God, and doing the will of His Father. And what is the will of His Father? That all men should be saved. That is Christianity. And the more you spend time with Him, the more you're going to start loving people again. You want to know why you don't love people? You want to know why you got a problem with people? Because your relationship with Christ is dead. It's dead. Get back into a loving relationship with the Savior, and you'll find yourself loving people again. Why? Because they're alive, and they need a shepherd. Why? Because they're lost, and they need a guide. Why? Because they're dying in their sins, and they need a Savior, Jesus Christ. And incidentally, you're the one supposed to tell them about it. Would you let your faith come back alive this morning? You know what else the Bible tells us? The Bible also tells us that it's foolishness. I'm going to ask you to tell us. Get there for our next scripture. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You might be saying, oh, Pastor, that cross, that Jesus on the cross is nonsense to me. You know what the Bible says? It says it's foolishness to those that are perishing. Do you know what? It's foolishness to you because you are on your way to hell. You are dying in your sins. You can't fix you. Mama can't fix you. Daddy can't fix you. Let me tell you, your best friend can't fix you. And putting the offering in the tithe plate does not fix you. Only Jesus Christ can fix you. And you've got to go to the cross to get that life back in Him. That's what the Bible says. So the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. I think it's amazing that the young Christians started out. We often forget how they started churches. You know, we think they started churches by giving surveys. I'm not preaching against anybody. We thought they started churches by walking around saying, what would you like to hear? What would you like to see? What would you like to study? Do you know how the first Christians started churches? They went into the middle of the city, town square, and stood up and said, Jesus Christ is alive! People believed, or people ridiculed. Those that believed began to be trained. Those that began to be trained began to teach. Those that began to teach began to reach others. And the next thing you know, there was pastors, preachers, deacons, and there was a thriving church. And once there was not. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you looked at a group of people and said, they're lost? They're dying. They're dying in their sins. You know what the message of the cross is? The message of the cross is for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The message of the cross is that no matter how dead you are, you can be alive again. I say, oh, Pastor, I'm caught up in my drugs. Oh, Pastor, I'm caught up in my alcohol. Oh, Pastor, I'm caught up in my fornication, my adultery. I'm caught up in my womanizing. I'm caught up in my lies. I'm caught up in my hatred. There is no soul too far gone because of Jesus. He lives. Then you might be thinking it's foolish this morning. These lies for you are perishing, and the Bible tells us that. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But incidentally, it's also to us who are being saved, the power of God. Like I said before, you want your faith resurrected? Go back to the cross. You want your belief resurrected? Go back to the cross. You want your relationship resurrected? Go back to the cross. It's the power of God on the Sabbath. Let's look at our next verse this morning. Matthew 28. You say, oh, Pastor, we're finally getting into the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ resurrected and living today. Today is the day of salvation. And incidentally, today is the day we celebrate Jesus Christ's resurrection. I want to ask you to go with me in your mind's eye quickly now. Story at hand. You know it quite well. The disciples were feeling defeated. The disciples were feeling beat. The disciples were feeling misled. Jesus was dead. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know where to go. Jesus had been to the cross. Jesus had died. They thought He was going to live forever. They thought that the Rome and that the cities and that the world could never defeat Him. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. They've forgotten all the things that Jesus had said about the Son of Man must be crucified. They've forgotten that the Son of Man must suffer. They had forgotten, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They had forgotten these things. They thought Christianity was all about how good we are and how good we can have it. And really, Christianity is about how much we love, how much we can love. You know, Christianity teaches us to love the unlovable. Christianity teaches us to reach those who are unreachable. Christianity teaches us to go to the places that we can never go before in the name of Jesus Christ. Think about Christianity for a minute. More hospitals have been built in Jesus' name than any other in the world. More charities have been started in the name of Jesus than any other in the world. Do you want to take advantage of somebody? Find a Christian. We're the ones that are going to let you do it. Why? Because we love. Some of you are like, I don't want to be taken advantage of. Don't be. The Bible says we got to love, not be stupid. Somebody say amen. But look with me in Matthew 28. Look with me in verse 1 here. 3:8. The Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come to the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. You've already learned that if your faith is dead, you can go back to the cross. You've already learned that if your relationship with God is dead, you can go back to the cross. You've already learned that the reason why you avoid the cross is because you're perishing. If that doesn't bother you, then you're already dead and you can come anyway. What can we learn from Matthew 28? Number one, we learned that Mary and Mary came early in the morning. That's right, early. Early. What's the first thing they did? Can I tell you something about God? Are you ready for this? Because we forget about this sometimes. God has got to become number one in our lives. Somebody say amen. He's got to be the first thing we do, the first thing we're a part of. He's got to be number one in our lives. Mary and Mary sat out early in the morning. That's the first thing they were going to do. Why? Because Jesus was the most important thing to them. And when's the last time Jesus has been that important to you? Do you have a dead thing? Start making Jesus important to you. Make him important in your family. Make him important in your marriage. Make him important in your children. Make him important in the school. Oh my goodness, what an archaic thought. We can't do that. Let me tell you, we better start doing it again. That's the reason why we got children tonight who think they're girls or boys when they're not. Because we have no longer made God important. Start making God important like Mary and Mary did. They went to see God early in the morning. The only thing we need to learn from them is they went usually when you go to the sepulchre, you don't find somebody alive. Why don't you say amen on that? Usually when you go there, you're looking for somebody dead. I don't know about you, but that's not usually the place I find life at. You know what they found there? They found the risen life, Jesus Christ. They found a risen, victorious Savior. What's the message that we need to learn? Number one, you might think it's all over. You might think it's defeated. You might think it's come down to this, and I'm just saying my final farewell. But I want you to know Christianity never ends because Jesus will never die. He has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. He has rose again, and He lives forever. And incidentally, He's coming back again to take His church home. This is what they found. They came early in the morning. They obeyed God, expecting to see the dead teacher. What they found was a risen Savior. This is why my Bible tells me in the book of Matthew, they found some angels sitting there. I love angels. I think the world of them. These angels had some attitude with them. They did. They took that stone and they rolled it away. Look at me here in verse 2. Behold, there was a great earthquake. A great earthquake. Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ defeated death and the grave, the world knew it and shook in its approval that Jesus Christ should conquer the grave. When's the last time we've done that? The angels were there. They were there, and they came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love it. They sat on the door. They sat on the stone. Kind of like, I know something you don't know. Sitting there. Look inside. Go ahead. Two angels. You know how powerful two angels are. Did you hear Brittany and Katie sing that song? He could have called 10,000. Two angels show up and the stone is rolled away. Two angels show up and the earth wakes. Here they are sitting on the door. Mary and Mary show up. I don't know about you, but if I saw two angels, I'd just fall down right now. There's all kinds of things in the Bible that get me like that, you know. I have a lot of fun with them, and I love to think about that. Like, one of my personal favorite stories, Balaam and the donkey. How many of you would carry on a conversation with a donkey like nothing strange was happening? If a donkey started talking to me, I would run the other way. Yeah, man. He just carried on a conversation like it's normal. I'm like, Eve talking to a serpent. No thanks, man. The snake starts talking, I am out of there, promise you that. You say, those things will happen in the New Testament. Oh, I beg you differ. The clouds start speaking. Then they heard a voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Let me tell you, when the sky starts talking, you better get on your knees. I'm going to share something with you now. I'm just going to do it again. You know, the sky is maybe talking. Let's see. You have nuclear coming. You got all kinds of signs happening. Would you be ready to give the hope back to Jesus Christ? I think that's just my heart is broken. Faith's been broken. I don't know if I can trust again. It's not about what you trust. It's not about who you trust. It's about who you know, Jesus Christ. If you will know him and the power of his resurrection, you will find him that he's the only one that's ever mattered. He's the only one that ever will matter. Jesus. These angels sitting on the door. The invitation. Go ahead and take a look. Look at me here. Verse 3, I love Matthew describes these angels for. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become again. You know who the keepers are? The Roman soldiers that were set there to guard. They were set there and they began to shake in fear. Roman soldiers aren't afraid of anything except not getting their food yet. That's the only thing they were actually afraid of. And they quaked and fell down to the ground as dead men. Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't talk. Don't say a word. Because the angel is with you. Verse 5, the angel answered and said unto the woman, and to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which is crucified. And that's the second part we need to learn this morning. We need to learn to seek God first. The second part, we need to seek him in the name of Jesus. You trying to find God without Jesus? It's a dead end. Are you hearing me? You're trying to find God without the Savior? It's a dead end. You can't get to him through Mary? Are you hearing me? Why? Because Mary's dead. You can't get to him through Muhammad? Why? Because Muhammad's dead. You can't get to him through Buddha? Why? Because Buddha's dead. But you can get to God through Jesus, because Jesus is alive. Fear not. Why don't you see Jesus? What's this crucified? Did you come looking for Jesus this morning? I want to invite you to come and fill him in your heart. The angels tell us he is not here. He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Take a good look at where he was. Maybe you have got a tune in your heart. There's a place where you had Jesus before. You might be looking in your heart now and saying, where did Jesus sit? Where was Jesus reigning and ruling in my life? And I've asked him to leave and I've asked him to quit. And I want you to know something. I need you to hear me now. God does not leave nor does he forsake his church. You might be saying, can he take me back? And I want you to know the answer is absolutely and positively yes. Would you be willing to come home this morning? Would you be willing to come back this morning? Would you be willing to get back into his family, back into his church, back into his will this morning? And it starts with going back to the cross, like you said before, because the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Would you be willing to come back to him again this morning? Or perhaps you say, Pastor Joshua, I need a church family. I am a Christian, but I need a church family. You know what? There's no better church than Robert Snaggy. I better hear a bunch of amen. Somebody once said the other day, they said, Pastor, we're the best kept secret in Cotton Cove. We are, but let's not be secret anymore. Amen? Tell everybody about it. There is a church who still worships Jesus Christ, who still believes in Jesus Christ, who still worships Jesus Christ, who still calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, and it is Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Jesus Christ, if we will exalt him, worship him, then the world will kick in the doors to come and see what's happening in Copper Cove. April 8th is coming up. It's just that little eclipse, you know what? The opportunity to share with the world that there is a risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen to what the angels tell Mary and Mary. Go quickly, verse 7. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. I love that. They ran away with fear and great joy. You ever been afraid and happy at the same time? You know when I last time I was afraid and happy at the same time? When I was about 12 years old. And Mom had caught me stealing from the cookie jar. I was afraid what was going to happen, but I was happy. I was stuffing that chocolate chip in my mouth. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. Oh, goodness gracious. They departed with fear and great joy. What kind of fear are they talking about? They just saw angels, right? They just saw the stone rolled away. They just saw death defeated, the grave defeated. They saw a risen Savior, and they walked away in fear. There's nothing our God can't do. There's nothing too big, too hard, or impossible. He is victorious. They walked away in fear and in great joy. Why? Because he lives. Oh, he's alive. He's alive today. How do I know he's alive today? Because the truth is still alive today. The church is still alive. He is the head of the church. Did you know that? He's in charge of the church. He is not Pastor Joshua. Jesus Christ is. He's in charge of the church. And he's in charge of the church because he is alive. You say, he's up in heaven. Let me tell you something about the church. This may come as a surprise, but we've been under the same management for 2,000 years. He's still there. He's still reigning, ruling. Still coming back in your time. And I believe he's coming soon. I believe he's coming more than soon. I want to ask you to get ready for that. I want to ask you to get your heart ready for that. I want to ask you, if you're willing this morning, if you need to come put Jesus in your heart, would you let now be the time? Or perhaps say, Pastor, my faith is dead. I am a Christian, but it's dead, it's broken, it's defeated, it's littered in sin. Would you go back to the cross with me this morning and call upon him who has the power to defeat the grave and death and to bring back a child from sin into everlasting life? Would you be willing to come to him? Perhaps you say, Pastor, perhaps you are a member of Robertson Avenue. It's time for you to say, I need to be baptized. Come on. Nothing greater than giving in to God's will. Would you be willing to come this morning? Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you now in Jesus' name. And oh, how we thank you, Lord, for your word. It is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray right now, Lord, you speak to us. Let us all know right now, Father God, that maybe we need to come back to the cross, Lord, and have a resurrected faith. And perhaps, Lord God, we need to go to the tomb and see where you had laid, Lord, because we've forgotten that you can't do anything. Or perhaps, Lord God, there was one this morning just angry at you. Perhaps, Lord, they can't reason in themselves why something happened. I pray, Father God, let them know sometimes the angels sit on the doorpost and we don't know why. I pray, Father God, I pray, Lord God, that you direct them and lead them and guide them, direct them and give them peace and bring them home. this morning. And perhaps, Lord, they said one. It is a member. They are a Christian, but it's time for them to be obedient and come and be baptized with what they do that day. So we bless you, we praise you, we give you all the glory, and thank you for being alive, Jesus, with your Jesus and your faith. Would you come to sing? There's room at the cross. Would you come this morning? Would you come? Bell, but we probably could beat the Presbyterian. We hurry now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I want to wish you all a very happy and blessed Resurrection Day. Don't forget no services this evening. Go home and have a good time with your family, your friends, your loved ones, and I'll see you guys Wednesday night at 6:30 right here in the sanctuary. Let's close that word of prayer. What is your baby? Would you close this time, sir?
Heavenly Father, we pray.